You have your Bibles. Could you turn back with me, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 1, page 271. And this morning, I want us to continue our theme on looking at the community of faith, how we relate to one another as Christians, how we build one another up in the faith, as we were seeing in Ephesians chapter 4 at the beginning of the service. And I want us to look at this story that we have in front of us. In effect, we have a story, if we were to put it in our modern context, we've got a family preparing to go to something like an Old Testament version of the Aberystwyth Conference. But this family is a little bit different from our average British family today. We are introduced to the husband, to the father of the family in verse 1. His name is Elkanah, and his name means God has created, or God has taken possession. Elkanah, every day of his life, knew that he had been made by God. The family is a little different in that this man has two wives. The first one is Peninnah, a word which comes from a root word to do with jewels and pearls. And then Hannah, the second wife, and her name is Favored. Now, you would expect Hannah to be one who had particular blessings. But no, she had a struggle in life. The struggle that she had was that she had no children. And yet Peninnah, we are told that she had sons and daughters. So if we think of the basic plural being two, we have got a family here with at least four children, but none of them belong to Hannah. Now, those of us who know what it is to go on holiday, whether we are the parents organizing it, or whether as we were growing up, we were the children who were being told what to do. We know how difficult and tense it gets when we have to go on a journey. And this is the situation that we've got here. Getting the family ready to go to this place of worship and to this special conference during the year. And we are told, sadly, that not only are there issues that there would be between parents and children, but sadly there are issues between the two women. And we're told in verse 6 that Peninnah used to provoke her grievously in order to irritate her. And in a way, we might describe Peninnah as a nasty piece of work. That's how we describe people like that today, isn't it? And as a result, in verse 7, we are told that Hannah wept and would not eat. She was going through this emotional turmoil that was producing eating disorders in herself. And we've got this whole mixture of emotions going on within this family. So what are we going to learn from this experience? We will develop the story as we go through this morning. Well, I want you to have in your mind a question that Elkanah put to his favorite wife, Hannah, at the end of verse 8. Am I not more to you than 10 sons? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? Now, if we look at that from a human angle, the answer is, of course not. I'm married, I want children. But if we look at that question from the angle of God putting the question, of the Lord Jesus Christ putting the question, am I not more to you than 10 sons? Then the answer ought to be, of course you are more important to me than 10 sons. But let's ask ourselves the question, is God, is Christ, Is the Holy Spirit more important to us than the blessings of this world? Because I want us to see in this story that there are two blessings that the family experience. Amongst many others, there is the blessing of marriage and there is the blessing of family life. But this is a family that has allowed blessing to become more important than the blessing, the blesser, the one who gives the blessing. So let me say that again. This is a family that has allowed the blessings to become more important than the blesser, the one who gives the blessing. And that's my first heading this morning, a misunderstood blessing. The blessings that they have been given are marriage and family life. We're told about Elkanah that he was a descendant of Joseph because he was from Ephraim, and Ephraim was one of the sons of Joseph. Outwardly, he was a godly man because he led his family in worship. He took responsibility. Verse 3 tells us that they used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. He was disciplined year by year. It wasn't random. It wasn't, oh, it's Sunday, I'll get up and I'll go to church today. Oh, it's Sunday, I'll turn over, I'll go back to bed. Oh, it's Sunday, I want to go and do this or to do that. No, there was this discipline in his life. He was God-centered because he wanted to worship. He didn't just want to worship the creation. He didn't just want to worship the gifts that he had because of the blessings of God. No, we're told that he wanted to worship the Lord of hosts. He knew who he wanted to worship. Let me ask you this morning, do you know who you want to worship? You might say, yes, I want to worship God. But who is your God? Is your God the God of the Bible? Now, the God that Elkanah worshipped was the Old Testament understanding of God. He was the same God that we worship, but he would have worshipped him as the God who created this world. He would have worshipped him as the God who saved his people from Israel. He would have worshipped him as the God who had given to his people the land of Israel, having taken it from the Canaanites. And it would have been these things that he would have worshipped him for. But what about us? We worship the God of creation. We worship the God of Abraham and of Isaac. We worship the God of Moses, who has given to us the law, who says, this is the way, walk in it, live like this, love God, love your neighbor. But we don't just worship God as he has been revealed in the Old Testament. We worship God as he's been revealed to us in the New Testament. The God who became man. The God who humbled himself and came to live here on earth. The God who for 30 years, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, the God who became man and for 30 years lived in obscurity. He didn't draw attention to himself. We're told about his birth. We're told about when he started to take responsibility in the worshipping community when he was about 12. But we hear nothing else until God's time. And then at the age of 30, this God who became man starts preaching. But he starts going to the unclean. He starts going to the demon-possessed. He starts going to the blind who would have been seen as sinners. He goes to those who are despised by their society. He sits with them. He eats with them. He associates with them. He reaches out and he touches them. He heals them. And when his popularity rises, everybody wants to follow him. But he says, hang on. It's not all about immediate blessing. We're here talking about the things of eternity. And it's not just about you. You who are listening. It's about everybody that I want to save throughout history. Yes, I am the Lamb of God who will die for my people. But I am the Lamb of God who will pay the ransom for everyone who will come to faith. People in every race and tribe and nation. Elkanah went to worship God. Have you come this morning to worship the God who went to Calvary in an act of love and of sacrifice, who was buried, who rose again, in order to say to the worst of sinners in this building this morning and throughout the whole earth, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive your sins. This family, the family of Elkanah, they had certain things right, but they allowed themselves to indulge on blessings. Elkanah, instead of saying, I will live according to God's pattern, and I will only have one wife, took two blessings within marriage. Friends, we're not to do that. There are blessings, but they are to be used in the way that God gives them. Children are a gift from the Lord, and we are to see them as that. But we often focus on Penina as the one who was provocative. And yet Hannah, in the early part of her life, was so discontented. Lord, I want this blessing. Lord, give me children. Lord, I will do anything for you if only you will give me this blessing. Now, for Hannah, it was the blessing of children. But what about you? In your life, do you say, Lord, you know, if you give me this, then I will be at peace. If you give me that blessing, then I will be at peace. No, friends. Scripture says godliness with contentment is great gain. Why has God blessed one person in this way and another person in that way? Why is it that you seem to have to go through this trouble, but that person doesn't? Friends, I cannot answer that question. But what I do know is that the Lord of hosts is with us. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is working his purposes out. Elkanah and his family, in a way, made idols of God's blessings. The blessing became more important than the blesser. What about you this morning? Who is of primary importance in your life? What is of primary importance in your life? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it the blessing that he gives? Now, I've tried to be honest about Hannah and to say that she'd allowed life to get out of perspective. She had misunderstood blessing. She thought that children would solve the problems of her life. And I want to move on and see how Hannah responds to that problem. And I want to see her as one with a blessed burden. The question is there, am I not more to you than 10 sons? How does Hannah respond? Well, we're told in verse 9, after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. Although Hannah was cut up by her experience in life, she did the right thing. She got up. In effect, she took herself away from the place of provocation. She didn't sit down and have a good cry. She went to God. And she did cry. But she cried before God. I want to ask you this morning, friends, as you struggle with your experience in life, perhaps your failure, was Hannah weeping and saying, Lord, why is it that I allowed that woman to annoy me again? Lord, why is it that I'm so overwhelmed by this need in my life? Was she afraid that God would not hear her prayer? Well, friends, there are times in our lives and we try to pray, don't we? And we just don't know how to put the words together. When we try to do it, they fall over and they tumble into a load of confusion. What I want to say to you is keep praying in those times, because the Holy Spirit will help you in your praying. Listen to Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Do you see that, friends? When we cannot get the words out, the Holy Spirit says, I'll do it for you. Yeah, keep weeping, keep groaning, keep pouring yourself out before God, but I'll help you. Remember the hymn we've just sung? Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Gethsemane was a place where the God-man, and remember Jesus was God at this point, where the God-man struggled with the experience that he knew he had to go through. Luke says this about Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. In other words, Lord, it's such a great responsibility to take it from me if it's your will. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, I don't know how I'll do it, but I will do it if it's you, what you want me to do. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. This is where Hannah was. Okay, she was not knowing the struggle between being God and man. But she was struggling with what God had given to her in life. And I want to say to you this morning, friends, that Hannah struggled, but the Lord Jesus Christ struggled. It's right that we focus on his ministry on Calvary, where he died in our place. But I want to say to you, go to the Garden of Gethsemane and understand a God, a man, who like you struggles with the purpose of God in his life. Hannah went and she poured out her heart before God. Jesus understands and he will help us in our praying. Let me ask you this morning, friends, is the pain of your circumstances making you bitter, or is it driving you to God? Hannah had an incredible burden, but that burden drew her to God. She is misunderstood, and we will be misunderstood. She was misunderstood, and Eli the priest thought she was drunk. We will be misunderstood, and people will think that we're a holy Joe. But God hears us. Hannah didn't understand the work of the Holy Spirit in the way that we know it. But this woman had a great privilege. As soon as Eli understood that she was in fact praying, he effectively told her that her prayer had been answered. Verse 17 says, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." She was told that her prayer had been answered. Daniel, in a similar way, he was pouring out his heart before God. He was totally weakened as he sought the help of God. And have you got to that point in your life at times and you felt, I cannot go on. I cannot put one step in front of the other. I cannot cope with life. That is where Daniel got to in his weakness before God. And yet God came to him and touched him. Then he said to me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words." Both Hannah and Daniel and countless people down through the history of the church have known their prayers answered, even before they've seen their prayer answered. God came to them with that assurance. "I hear you. I understand. I know what you're going through. And I will give you peace." Friends, do you know what it is to pray until you're broken before God? And he says to you, "Peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you." So we have a misunderstood blessing. We have a blessed burden in prayer. But the last thing that I want to show you from the life of Hannah this morning, from the life of this family at worship, is a blessed sacrifice. This woman had wept before God. And in her prayer, she had said in verse 11, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." Verse 20, "And in due time Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord." Then we go down to verse 26. Well, in fact, verses 21 to 28 describe how, having brought this child up until she had weaned him, she then took him and she presented him before God. Think about this. This woman has been beside herself, wanting a child. The Lord answers her prayer. And you'd imagine that for the rest of her life, she would say, he's a gift from God, I'm going to look after him, I'm going to love him. But no, she says, I'm prepared to give him to God. Friends, are you prepared to give back to God the blessings that he has given to you so that he becomes the uttermost and the blessings take their place? Verse 26 says, O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Friends, what is it that is of greater importance in your life than the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it that so drives you that it comes between you and your God? You've got to give it to him. It might be that you're a non-Christian and your religion comes between you and God. It won't save you. It won't give you peace. It might be that you're a Christian and you say, yes, Lord, I love you, but I want this. I need this. Let me ask you, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What will a woman give in exchange for her soul? Hannah was prepared to give the most blessed sacrifice. And mothers have done this throughout the history of redemption. The mother of Moses, she knew that there was something special about her son. And she gave him up. She put him into the bulrushes. Yes, it was in order to preserve him. But she gave him up. Mary, the young village girl, took her child in presentation before God, and she was told a sword would pierce her own soul. Mary, probably in her early 50s, or even late 40s, stood at the cross and looked at her son and she'd given him up. Why? For the benefit of others. Samuel was to grow up. He was to judge Israel. He was to take Israel from the period of the judges into the establishment of the kingdom. He was to do a key role. Hannah would not be trapped in the idolatry of motherhood. Rather, she was prepared to give everything for God. Eli took this child and used him in the service of God. When Hannah took him, she brought great sacrifices. Look at verse 24. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her along with a three-year-old bull, or some translations say three bulls, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord. She sacrificed for the sake of God. Friends, let me ask you, are you prepared to sacrifice? Are you prepared to give the most precious thing for the glory of God? And then when the story, as we've read it this morning, ends, where do we find Hannah? Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. Friends, in whom do you rejoice this morning? What is the most important thing in your life? It can be nothing other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot be a form of worship. It cannot be an understanding of family life. It cannot be an understanding of personal fulfillment. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And Hannah, when she had passed through this awful experience, was able to say, my heart exalts in the Lord. I lift up the God of my salvation. I praise him. Let me ask you this morning, friends. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? That's where you need to start. Are you walking daily by the Saviour's side? Are you walking with him? Or are you tugging away from him and saying, Lord, I want this, I want this. Godliness with contentment is great gain. The question, if it comes from a human angle, is incredibly painful. Am I not more to you than 10 sons? But if it is seen coming from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to answer, no, I don't want the 10 sons. I want the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy blessed will divine, with joy I make it mine. Can you sing that? Can you say it? Can you, as we will sing in a few moments, sing, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my heart, my all. Amen.